Palm Sunday. Isn't it exciting? It's always an exciting time. The crowds are cheering. Jesus is in the spotlight. We hear the crowd singing, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." I can hear them shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And with palm branches waving, the people are shouting, and Jesus is given the hero's welcome. This was Jesus' big day. Oh yeah, his disciples were excited. This was a chance for Jesus to stand up and be noticed. This was the day that his disciples would be standing beside him and saying, "Right on, we're glad to be here with you." It was a chance that any politician would give an arm and a leg for this kind of recognition, this kind of crowd, this kind of excitement. But as you may know, the shouting comes to an abrupt end and something strange occurs. And we're going to read that here in Luke chapter 19. And this is what it says. As they approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Jesus, who was being hailed as the hero of the day, instead of celebrating, we find him weeping. He's not interested in a trophy. There's no victory speech. There's no championship ring presentation. All we see is Jesus weeping and a crowd stunned by the damper he put on the whole festive atmosphere. We read about the celebration, but we don't always get to the heart of Jesus when he sees Jerusalem. What was Jesus' problem anyway? I mean, why couldn't he just go with the crowds and celebrate? Why was he having such a hard time? Well, the problem was that Jesus knew something that the people didn't. Jesus could see something that was coming. The people were carrying on, like in the days of Noah, you might say. We've heard that before. The people were carrying on like everything was going great. But Jesus saw something more. He saw beyond the faces. He saw the pain and suffering of the people. He saw the suffering caused by sin. And he knew that there was only one way to deal with it, and it wasn't going to be easy. And so for a moment, Jesus is kind of on the brink. What's he to do? Would he turn back, go back, which would be the easy thing, or would he carry on? Well, we know what happened. In a matter of days, he would be crucified. He would be arrested first. He would be tried. He would be ridiculed. He would be beaten. He would be hauled through the streets. And finally, he would be crucified, hung on a cross. And he knows that's coming. And the easy thing for him would be to turn back and go with the crowds and say, "Oh, this is good. I'll take these crowds instead of the road ahead." But as you know, Jesus isn't interested in what's easy. He's interested in what's right. Even if it meant suffering, even if it meant taking on shame, being humiliated in front of his loved ones, and even if ultimately it meant dying on a cross. It's been said, and it's true, that it wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. Someone wrote a poem. It wasn't nails holding Jesus that day. And it wasn't the soldiers that caused him to stay. It wasn't the nails through his hands and feet that wouldn't allow our Lord to retreat. His love held him there on the cross in our place, an amazing display of his infinite grace. As he paid the price for a life that prevails, love held him there. It wasn't the nails. And the fact is that Jesus didn't have to be there. When Jesus was being arrested, you might remember one of the followers pulled out a sword and he was ready to fight for Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, "Put away your sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" 12 legions of angels. In case you're not familiar with that, a Roman legion had 6,000 soldiers. And so that's 72,000 angels right there if Jesus called for them. Well, the number isn't important. What's important is that Jesus went to the cross willingly. He could have resisted. He could have fought back, but he didn't. He could have turned around, but he was compelled to go forward because of love. That one word, love. The fact is, and I hope you know this, I believe you do, that God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. We know that God loves us, but we can't even imagine just how much. He loves you individually. Of all the billions of people, God knows you by name. He knows you by name even before you were born. God knew you. He knows where you're at. He knows how you're feeling. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows your frustrations. And perhaps most importantly, He knows what sin has done in your life. Sin. What a nasty word. You know, there are some people who would like to just eliminate that word completely out of the English language. Like, there is nothing, no such thing as sin. But the Lord knows what sin has done in our lives. You and I are no different than anyone else. The Scripture says, and rightly so, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're part of that all. We've all been caught in the tangled web of sin, one way or another, and usually in multiple ways. It's just that for some people, their sin is more inner and hidden and not so much outward and obvious. But it's there. It's there just the same. The Lord knows what sin has done to our lives. Sin comes in many forms, and we don't need to go through them all. And the fact is that the worst thing we could probably do is start listing a catalog of sins, because As soon as we do that, we think, oh, good, I'm not in that list, so I'm okay. When really we're not. We can fool others sometimes, but we can't fool ourselves. David felt the pain of sin. He literally felt the weight of sin upon his life. He said in Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." Sin had an effect on him. Sin does that. It can literally make us sick. And the more we get caught up in the trappings of sin, well, we know the harder it is to get out. And pretty soon, we start believing some of the lies that Satan would tell us. He'll tell you, "You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You're a failure. You don't deserve forgiveness. You'll never change. Why, you're a rotten, filthy sinner, and you're always going to be a rotten, filthy sinner." And if you can get us to believe that, we're sunk. And the weight just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier. We get crippled by it. We get desperate. We try different things, trying to ease the pain of sin in our lives. We look for answers. And we do things that sometimes make things worse, not better. But the weight of sin keeps pulling on us, and we can't seem to go on much longer. And that's what Jesus saw on Palm Sunday when he was looking down on Jerusalem. That's what he saw in the people, a people who were pained and gripped and caught in sin. And that's why Jesus didn't turn back. That's why Jesus didn't resist the Romans when they came to arrest him. That's precisely why Jesus hung on a cross. Because the only way for us to be set free from our sins was for Jesus to take them upon himself. Gabe, that's slide 5. The only way for Jesus to set us free from our sins was for him to take them upon himself. And in case you missed it, just bear with me for a minute. Let me rephrase that a little. Jesus Christ came to set us free from the power and bondage of sin. That's what it's all about. There's only one way to deal with sin. There's only one way to be set free, and it's through Jesus. Jesus came to lift those burdens, those sorrows, that pain. Isaiah 61 verse 1 speaks about this, speaks about the Lord. It says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." You know, that's not talking about Jesus giving people a get-out-of-jail-free card. He's not talking about the local community jail when he says that he has come to proclaim freedom for the captives. He's talking about setting people free from spiritual bondage, a bondage that otherwise holds us in a tight grip. Isaiah chapter 53 puts it this way: "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. It's right there. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. And in case somehow we missed that, the very last verse of Isaiah 53 summarizes it. For He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. That's what this means, my friends. This is why Jesus went to the cross. And what it means is that when we come to the cross, when we come to Jesus, when we come to the foot of the cross, He takes our sins and our sorrows, and as the song says, He makes them His very own. He takes our affliction. He takes our addiction. He takes our failures. He takes our rejection. He takes it all. He takes that big bundle of burdens and He releases us from them. He makes us a new creation. He sets us free. That is the work of the cross. We come to the cross broken. We come to the cross burdened. We come to the cross beaten down. And there a transformation takes place. And instead of being beaten further down, Jesus holds us up tenderly. He picks us up. The burdens are gone. And He looks at us. He looks at me with love in His eyes. This is incredible. Can we even understand this? He looks at me and He says, Norman, you're no longer a prisoner to sin. You have been redeemed. It's amazing. He says, Norman, your sins are no longer counted against you. You've been forgiven. And Norm, by my wounds, you've been healed and set free. That's what He says to me. To you, He uses your name. No more shame, no more guilt. We've now become children of the King. My friends, that's what the cross is all about. When we go to Good Friday in a few days, that's what Good Friday is about. That's why on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus wept over the people because He saw that they were gripped in sin. And He knew what He had to do to set us free. And so He went to the cross. He took our sin. And the best part is that in the process, He disabled the power of Satan. And He set us free. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. I've said it many times before. It's one of my favorites. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Romans 8, 1 reaffirms this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friends, we have victory in Jesus. We can have victory in the cross. We come to the cross damaged and broken, defeated, and by the grace of God, by His love and mercy, we can be set free. Jesus paid it all so that we can be free. The only question that remains is simply this. Have we come? Have you come to the place where you have received Jesus as your Savior? Has He set you free? Because only He could pay the price. Only He did pay the price. And friends, if you haven't already done so, the foot of the cross is the place where we will find redemption, forgiveness, healing, and being set free. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before You this morning. And we just thank You, Lord, for Your work. We thank You, Lord God, that Jesus went forward while the crowds were pushing Him in one direction to be something that He wasn't. He went through with Your calling for Him that we might be set free. And Lord God, we know in our hearts how easy it is to be ensnared by sin and how we often try to overcome, but we can't. So Lord God, this morning we want to call upon You. You paid the price for our sin. You paid the price to set us free. And I pray, Lord God, that today that we would be able to come to You and find ourselves at the foot of the cross where we could be washed and made clean and made new. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.